I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, Episode 76, looking ahead to the University of Albany Great Danes on the road Saturday at 1. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesmen, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted. Happy to be here, buddy.
15-10 win over Robert Morris on Saturday, and a win that seemed to answer quite a few of the question marks that we were having.
Yeah, you know, I think, Ted, for our conversation last week and, you know, the messages that we sent to this team, I think the battles that we had to face, that, you know, emotionally and mentally here to make sure that we're losing with pride and respect. I thought that execution in itself was in a really good place. I could feel the energy from our guys very early. We had a lot of passionate talks from some of our captains. You know, Johnny Herlihy before the game got the guys very fired up, and you know, Liam Daly gave a great senior speech the night before. Our guys were just charged up and dialed in to right some wrongs and earn a victory. You know, we realized that you know, Robert Morris is not the same caliber of opponent as Cornell and Michigan or even Colgate to that degree, but we are proud of the fact that we can handle those losses like men and do so in a professional fashion and find a way to play well enough and hard enough to get a victory on Boswell Field on Saturday. So a great bounce back win, one that we needed for sure.
Before we dive into these details and look at it at Albany, I want to talk about the changing conference scene. We're seeing in Division III hockey now, the conference Hobart is in, the NEHC, is losing members. The people are going to the Little East. Of course, the NEC, your former lacrosse conference, is coming back together. What are you hearing, if anything, about the future of the A-10 and about these continued conference shifts overall?
Well, I think the A-10 will be fine. You know, I think, you know, and I do believe UMass is becoming a non A-10 member from a football perspective. I think they may join the MAC, the MAC.
Yeah.
So maybe UMass has to become an affiliate member of the A-10. You know what, Ted, if I had time to spend on that, I would be, I'd be a ton more rested. I think you just got to roll with those punches. I know that you got Delaware looking for a home at the Division I level, and I think the NEC coming back is going to change a lot up from an American East and a MAC standpoint. But, you know, and I think that's a great conference. It was a great conference for us to be in if St. Joe's and Bryant remained in that conference and Robert Morris remained in that conference, but they are no longer in it. And I do believe that, you know, from a competitive landscape, this A-10 has given us more to think about, to be honest, more to prepare for, more a different form of recruiting. Like we need to make sure that we're keeping up with the times of these great rosters that we see growing in the Atlantic 10 Conference. So it has basically charged us up as coaches in a different way. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen down the pipe here. I think there's going to be some gnarly stuff over the summer, Ted, and going into next year, things that bring up some questions and some controversy. And you know, I think that's the way of the world now, especially the athletic world, is, you know, controversy is a good thing. And you know, let's keep everybody guessing and keep changing things up. But it drives me crazy. But for now, we're an A-10 team, and the A-10 conference will remain. And, you know, we're hopeful that we continue along a path here. We're going to compete for a championship in it this season.
I don't know what you like best out of the last couple of weeks, but one of the things that stands out for me is holding opponents to 9 and 10 goals. When you're holding people around 10, you're going to be in every game.
Yes, you know, and I think, you know, without the continuity of some guys on our extra man, I mean, they fouled us a ton. That's some very questionable calls, to be honest with you, but I mean, we go, I think, 1 for 7 man up, Ted. I think if we start capitalizing, you know, with some guys that need to remain on the field, that weren't on the field on Saturday, that I think are starting to come back here in the near future, that game's completely different in our favor again. So you're talking about great momentum shifts with man up possessions that we didn't capitalize on early and sometimes even late. So, you know, we feel like with a few better decisions and some execution on an extra man offense, that scores 17-18-10, and maybe, you know, it provides us some single digits from a stopping standpoint. You know, I think what you talked about last week as well, Ted, you know, everybody asked for the schedule to get tougher, to increase, and now it's like, oh no, what are we doing? But when you play Colgate, Michigan, and Cornell, and you see that the pace at which they generate offense, I mean, it's and how consistent they are from a face-off perspective, or in Colgate's area, a riding perspective. I mean, you're constantly on edge in those games, much like the way the Albany's game's going to be, you know. So, and then when you get into a scenario where you can set the tone and you can set the pace, and you feel like from an athleticism standpoint, you are a bit superior, you know, from Tuesday to Saturday, we feel those gains and we feel that ability to maybe play at a higher clip and play at a more consistent pace. And I think that's what playing these great teams does for us. Do we wish we performed better? Yes. And we told our guys in the huddle on Monday night after practice, we need to take lessons from those losses, and those need to drive and continue to motivate and continue to teach us throughout this season, rather than any of those lessons you learned from a win against Robert Morris. Again, as I told you last week, we respect Robert Morris. We think they're a great program. We've battled with them every single year. We in no way, shape, or form feel like we're above them, but do think that learning from a top five team in the country, a top 10 team in the country, how you're playing or what the regret you have in those scenarios are, that's going to help us continue to get better. If we rest on laurels from a win at Robert Morris, then we're doing ourselves a disservice, and we're not paying attention to anything Coach Raymond's saying. So that continued improvement we need in order to compete at the end of this year is going to come from that Cornell loss, that Michigan loss, and that Colgate loss. That's going to keep fueling our fire.
Last year, you struggled at times with leads, but in this game with Robert Morris, you led by six at the half and just never let them make a run. They only had one two-goal run in the second half. Every time they threatened to chip into that lead, you were there with an answer.
Yeah, you know, and I think before you even bring it up, Ted, I mean, you gotta talk about Mike Valent there and what he did at the faceoff X. We thought we had a jump or a little bit of an edge at that position, but Mike was outstanding, and Shea was a little bit banged up. Shea could have played, you know, as much as we needed him to. And you know what a blessing it is to throw Adam Shea in there after Mike, and just see how effortless it is for him sometimes to win the ball after Mike's been grinding a guy down. But you're talking about a 12 ground ball and a two goal performance, you know, by a freshman on our team and Mike Valent. So that's a terrific game. And, you know, I think if you can gain possession of the ball at the faceoff X, you can gain possession of the ball through all our bone plays, which we talk about on this podcast often. That's the catalyst to stop runs, or the catalyst to bounce back from a goal. You know, if we're gonna hunt turkeys on game day, which are, you know, a goal and a stop, or a stop, a goal and a stop, or whatever gives us three in a row from a momentum standpoint, we need faceoffs, we need to clear the ball, and we need bone plays. And those three came forward for us on Saturday at a pretty impressive number. So, and it's one of the first games where we felt like that possession battle was heavily in our favor. 48 possessions in one game is, I think, 14 or 15 more than any other game we've had this season. So if we get our offense the ball, they've shown the ability to, one, put the ball in the net, and also gives our defense an opportunity to regroup, which in turn, like you said, stops that run right in its place.
Did you think coming into the season that Valent would be a guy that you could throw out there 40 or 50% of the time?
Yeah, you know, we'd have to see it. Here's the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, we lose Seamus Schofield to an injury, who has been terrific all year. So the conversations we were having as a staff is, you know, how much does Mike play this year? Because Seamus looks great and Shea's established, but we also believe Mikey to be very good. And sometimes, like we said last week, man, one man's floor is another man's ceiling. And you know, Mike is just taking advantage of an opportunity that came through the misfortune of an injury that faced one of our better players in Sheamus. So do we miss Sheamus? For sure. We think he would be terrific for us out there. But, you know, what you see in Mike is, you know, what you need out of your younger guys or your depth. That's how you need them to approach situations like this, that, you know, they're not nervous or worried. They've just worked their butts off. They live up to the moment, and they know that the work they put in allows them to execute and capitalize in that moment. So I, long-winded way of saying, Ted, I don't know how much Mike would have played with Sheamus on the field and Shea, but from the start in the fall, when he's been healthy, he's just one of those guys that's hard to keep off the field. He just competes that hard and that consistently.
We went back, and I couldn't find in the last several years a two-goal game by a face-off, get-off guy. What do you tell those guys in terms of when to take the shot? We always talk about face-off guys and long poles when we go, no, 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 great shot.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, we don't want to limit anybody here when their hands are free. You know, I think the shooting for us on game days an earned right, but if you're on the field, you've earned the right to shoot. So, but, you know, for a face-off guy in a pole, this is, if they don't pick you up, it's okay to shoot. If they, you know, if there is opportunity for possession of the ball first and you have a contested shot, then let's keep possession of this ball. But, you know, if Mike's running down the field, and I think it doesn't look like it much, Ted, when you watch him, but Mike has very good speed and is very powerful. I think, you know, our guys call him Brick because, I mean, it just feels like he's made of bricks. He's just, guys just bounce right off of him. So he can gain that lead or that advantage pushing offense. What Coach Mueller's done a great job with is, you know, making those shot decisions. And to be honest with you, the first one that he shot is probably an ill-advised one. He's on the run from 15 yards. And then the second one, he's shooting right-handed and he's a left-handed player. So both of them were kind of going, you know, but yeah, when they work out, you're happy coaches and a happy team. And you know, I think Mike's getting to that level. So is Shea, where they know what a great shot is for them, and they know what one where we would rather have possession looks like.
As you said, the injuries have kind of affected your man-up unit. You haven't had a lot of personnel consistency there, but let's talk about man-down, one of the best units in the country right now. What's been the key to that?
Again, Coach Mueller, he's doing a phenomenal job with Coach Mueller's doing. He works with our face-offs every day, works with our man-down unit every day, and you know, what we've talked about, when we had the best man down unit in the country here, you know, what's the catalyst for a great man down unit? It's one, you don't foul often, and two, you have a great goaltender. And we have a great goaltender in the goal. We've got a great goaltender on the bench, and we've got a couple behind him as well. So, you know, I think that it's a specialty unit as well with, you know, we've talked about Vinny Orlando before. We've talked about Joel Stevens and these guys that can focus a little bit on those particulars and do a good job when they're in there. And there's just, you know, there's been a couple holes in that man down early in the season that our opponent hasn't found. And I think we've done a good job as a staff. And again, Coach Mueller in particular at correcting the mistakes that were made the week before. And also when we are healthy, Ted, from a man up perspective, we're in practice, our man down's on their heels constantly. Our man up does a great job of establishing ball movement and off ball movement and running plays efficiently. So they have great practice week to week. So combination of all those things, but right now they're in a pretty good place, and, you know, hopeful that this run continues.
One glass half empty thing through five games, the guys who have taken the four most frequent shot takers are all below average in terms of accuracy and getting the ball in the net. Do you see that turning around?
Yeah, I do. You know, I do. I think we're back in this routine, Ted. Our Tuesday games are done. There's no more Sunday games. You know, we're in a routine of Saturday games from now until the end of the season. So with exception of our postseason in the Atlantic 10. So now we can get back into that routine of edge work. And, you know, and I think, you know, there's some of our guys that you know, full transparency, maybe shooting too much. You know, Coach Brundage had said that earlier this week. And, you know, there are guys that exhaust their sticks every single day, and we love that and think it's the best way to get out of a shooting slump. But there's also times where, you know, there are different ways and different forms to put an edge work that some of our guys may need. But the point is, you're in a 168 routine of your week now where you can designate 2 to 3 times a week when you can get your hand speed up and you can put the ball in the net, you can pick the ball up off the ground, you can bang the ball against the wall, you can do all those things that need to stay consistent throughout a routine of a week. And so we're happy that we're back in that routine and do believe that, you know, the Chads of the world, the Anthonys, you know, Deli and Rosie, all of these guys will get into that shooting routine through proper rest and proper work. But, you know, we got guys that when they're in a slump, they like I've said before, they don't put their bat down, they shoot out of it. And, you know, Coach Brundage spends a ton of time with individual sessions and edge work with these guys and just making sure that they are doing the right things to put their shots in a better place.
Brand new opponent this week, the U at Albany Great Danes, 1 o'clock on Saturday. An 0-4 team, and they're going to be an angry 0-4 team. They have 3 1-goal losses. I went back since the beginning of 2019. They've played in 14 one-goal games. Tell us a little bit about Albany.
Kind of, you know, there's some cardiac kids for sure. They're the best 0-4 team in the country, Ted. There's no doubt in our mind. I mean, they are very skilled. They're well coached and they're very tough. They have a very specific brand of play that they got a couple players that allow them to play fast. They do a couple wrinkles in their end-to-end offense that you need to prepare for. So, you know, I think that the most impressive thing about Albany is what the emotional standpoint that their coaching staff has them in. I mean, if you watch their sideline through each game that they played, they are on fire, man. They're energetic. You know, they celebrate goals. They celebrate team successes. They love small plays. Their team will go nuts if they back up a shot or if they dive for a ball or if they create a turnover, a lot like us. So we feel like the similarities between both of these programs are spot on, just in terms of their players specifically, the athleticism, what they do from an early offense standpoint, what we do, and how well they face off. They face off great, and they're pretty consistent in the goal. So this is going to be a flat-out 60-minute dogfight, man. And the one thing that I know is they've shown the ability to continue to play through deficit, where, you know, in the Drexel game, I think they're down 4. And then the Penn game, they're down a bunch and they fight back. The UMass game, they're down 3 or 4 goals and they fight back. So, you know, we have just a ton of respect and admiration for the fight that they show. And I do believe from a skill standpoint, this is a very good offense that we're playing. And again, with the ability to face off like that, we're going to have to be on point in all scenarios in order to get a big victory at Albany. Again, one thing I didn't mention is how confident and how well they play at home. So lots of things stacked against us emotionally. We got a pretty good message for our team in order to make sure we handle that with poise and composure.
We've talked about that shooting accuracy. That's an area where they've really struggled. I think this game may come down to getting the shots on target and which team can move the other team's goalie around.
Yeah, very true. You know, whatever shooting woes they have, I'm sure that, like us, as time goes on, they're good enough players and they're good enough coaches where they're going to correct those. You know, you got in each offensive possession, maybe 3 players, 4 players from, you know, British Columbia or Ontario, these guys that just have very slick sticks and handle the ball in an efficient manner. So, We're going into this thing not focused on shooting percentage. We just got to make sure that the guys that we know they have that can score great goals are limited as much as possible throughout a 60-minute game.
One of the things they do very well is they limit shots. They're only giving up 17 or 18 shots on goal per game. What do you see out of them defensively, and how do you make sure that, you know, 17, 18 shots, it's hard to score 15 when you only get 17 on cage. How do you get more shots and good shots against this Albany D?
Yeah, you know, I think ball movement, and I think, you know, making sure we're taking advantage of possessions, and, you know, like Coach Coach Brundage always teaches our guys high-paced patience, making sure that we're reading between when we can attack early and when we need the ball, especially against a team that loves to run and loves to play fast. Having some long possessions are going to be in our favor, and we've shown through a couple games, despite taking it on the chin against Cornell, that the plan in that game was to possess the ball and get your pass count up. So we got to move the goalie. We feel like there's some holes in this defense. Sometimes they're just hard to find. And, I think that shot percentage comes a little bit from, their ability to play aggressive, and, they're kind of big and long, and the defense gets in your gloves a bit. But our guys are very prepared to move the ball, move that goalie pipe to pipe, and kind of tear into opportunities when they come our way.
As we said, it's a new opponent. What's the length of the contract with Albany? Are we going to see them for a few years?
I hope so. They're coming back here next year, so we're definitely going to play them a year from now on Boswell Field, which is great. And it's something we've been fighting for. I mean, their coach is a guy that I know, a fellow Hopkins alum, and arguably one of the best guys ever. And so, kind of consider him a little bit of a mentor in a way, and I have a great relationship with him. One of those guys, every time I see him, give him a hug, and he does the same. So we want to keep this going. We think it's a great game, but also, it's an attractive game just because from a budget standpoint and how long the trip is. I mean, Ted, I can't tell you how nice it's going to be to get on a bus for less than 5 hours,
yeah,
and less than 6 hours to get to Albany, and not be in a dead rush to get to dinner when we get there, and yada yada. So, and I think they'd feel the same way coming here. So, right now it's in the works for next year, and we'll see what happens beyond.
Stepping back, looking at the big picture, you've played 5 games. You've got 4 more to go to get ready for the big 5 that count. Where do you feel you are in terms of readiness for the A-10 schedule?
Right now, Ted, we are, and I hate to be a bummer to answer this question, right now we want to have a great Thursday practice. And, from an A-10 perspective, if I were to speak candidly, I think Richmond's at the forefront of this thing, and then the rest is wide open. I know High Point's got a good group. I know St. Joe's has got a good group. But, everybody's hit some good ups and downs in this conference. UMass saves the ball great. They face off great. They beat Albany last week by a goal. And so, but, there isn't a team in this conference where you look at them and go, oh, my gosh, how are we going to beat those guys? And so for us, if you rewind back to that initial talk or initial point, is we've got to get better on Thursday here. And, we told our guys in film yesterday, Albany game will come, let's make sure Thursday's great. And if we can get into that discipline, then the improvement we'll need to compete at a high level with those 5 that count will be there. And the good part, Ted, is 3 of those games are on Boswell Field, man. That's an awesome thing. The fact that we get to play Lemoyne at home, Cuse at home, then the first one's at home again against UMass. This is a godsend from a scheduling standpoint. So we got to take advantage of the fact that we're in Geneva for a bunch of these battles, and very hopeful that if we focus on that day one mentality, then we'll be in a pretty good place come conference time.
All right. Road wins always feel great, and a 3-game winning streak would feel great. So best of luck Saturday.
All right, Ted. Thanks, brother.